reference made to a drunk man. And for sure, while reference was being made pertaining to a drunk man, the member from you put North, Madam Speaker, continued to speak about agriculture. But I know for sure he was not referring to the Minister of Agriculture. Because, Madam Speaker, the truth pertaining to agriculture is written in the Economic and Social Review starting from the year 1997, Madam Speaker. The truth is written, Madam Speaker. So there is no need, Madam Speaker, to come into this house and try to put some sort of explanation or theory towards the demise of agriculture during the 10 years of the Solution Labour Party governing this country. Madam Speaker, I decided to start on this note because when you go through the social and economic review for the year 2007-2008, you would realize, Madam Speaker, that although there was the passage of Hurricane Dean in the year 2007, agriculture continued to maintain positive levels of productivity. Madam Speaker, you know, I must commend the Minister of Agriculture. He did a very good job in the year 2007, Madam Speaker, from the time he became the Minister of Agriculture. His first goal, Madam Speaker, as the Minister of Agriculture was to try to stabilize the agricultural industry, especially the banana industry. The member for Beaufort North, Madam Speaker, spoke about the decline in the banana industry. But the real decline in the banana industry, Madam Speaker, started in the year 1997, Madam Speaker. That's where it started. Because the last government did not have a clear vision for not only the banana industry, Madam Speaker, but for agriculture on the whole. Madam Speaker, as I move on, I will try not to go back to the past, because that is the reason why we are here today. It's because of the dismal performance of the last administration, especially in the area of agriculture. In the area of agriculture.
Honourable Member for Beaufort North, you have a point of order.
Madam Speaker, the Member for Denry North conveys the impression that I misread the facts. Is that it, Madam Speaker? It's misleading the House, Madam Speaker. I referred to a document, Madam Speaker, and which showed when bananas and agriculture generally started to decline. And it's misleading the House by saying that bananas started to decline in 1997.
You referred to a document and you gave your opinion on the document. He is himself giving his opinion. Do you have the facts to support what you're saying?
Yes, Madam Speaker, I have the facts. I read from a document. I didn't give an opinion, Madam Speaker.
I would first need to have a copy of that document. So, if the clerk would... Are you referring to the document of which year is it?
The Annual Agricultural Statistical Digest 1997 from the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Forestry and the Environment. ADD volume 1, number 15.
And what is your point of order?
Page 1, paragraph 1.
What is the point of order?
The point of order is this, Madam Speaker. The member for Denry North indicated that I said basically the wrong thing and is misleading the House by saying so.
Okay, I will ask the clerk to ensure that copies of the relevant paragraph that you are speaking to are made available to members, and I will defer decision on this point of order until we have all the facts. Continue with your presentation, Honourable Member.
Madam Speaker, it is clear in the Social and Economic Review that the former administration performed very bad in terms of agricultural production in bananas. It is clear, Madam Speaker, in the year 2001, Madam Speaker, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, the Economic and Social Review is showing clearly that on page 27 of the Social and Economic Review.
Are you referring to?
Yes, the Social and Economic Review.
The current one, 2007.
Yes, 2007, Madam Speaker. It shows.
So you are making a point different to that which the member has raised an objection to?
I said before, Madam Speaker, and when I started, I said matters pertaining to the development of agriculture, the negative and the positive development of agriculture, is something where we cannot just come here and just state vaguely. I said that there is a Bible here pertaining to what has happened from the year 1997, and the Social and Economic Review shows clearly that during the time of the St. Lucia Labour Party governing this country, that the production in bananas, Madam Speaker, fell very, very low, far below what was expected and far below trends in 1995, 1996, and 1994, Madam.
Now, you have made that point and there have been certain objections to it. I have indicated that once the documents are available, I will rule on that. So
okay,
if you will please proceed with your petition.
Madam Speaker, as I said before, one of the problems that the present administration realized when we returned to office was that the farmers were having problems in terms of getting proper access to imports. And so we realized, Madam Speaker, as a government, that the first goal of this government, especially pertaining to the agricultural industry and bananas, Madam Speaker, was to try to increase productivity. And so, Madam Speaker, the government assisted the farmers with imports. Farmers were allowed, Madam Speaker, to receive imports without paying a cent. Without paying a cent. Isn't that a conscious government? Isn't that a Minister of Agriculture who believes that the poor man who's a farmer somewhere along the line needs to get assistance to continue in the development of the country, especially in agriculture? And so I was amazed, Madam Speaker. I was amazed when I sat in the House of Assembly, Madam Speaker, to hear so much being spoken about the banana industry. Madam Speaker, the banana industry, although you had a hurricane, the passage of Hurricane Dean, which had an effect on 60% of production, was still able to hold itself, Madam Speaker,
And it's here in the Social and Economic Review, 2007. 60%, Madam Speaker, of production was affected. Yet still, Madam Speaker, the industry realized pretty close, Madam Speaker, to 30,000 tons for the year 2007-2008, Madam Speaker. The previous year, Madam Speaker, the industry, with all things okay, the industry was only able to realize a production of 30,318 tons, Madam Speaker. And that is what I am referring to. The evidence is right here. Then the member, the
Member for Sucre, you have a point of order.
Madam Speaker, I do not know why the honourable member has that inclination to continue misrepresenting the facts. And I'm going to read the facts, Madam Speaker.
Honourable member, I will not allow you to do so. I have already indicated that at the appropriate time, when I have reviewed the relevant section that you were speaking about, that I will rule on that. It is the same point. And I cannot ask the member to stop saying it unless I rule on it. We are awaiting the photocopies to come through, and I will make the relevant ruling. It is the same point that is being made. Will you proceed, Honourable Member?
As I make my presentation, Madam Speaker, I am referring to facts in the Social and Economic Review. I am saying nothing outside the Social and Economic Review. And everybody in the House is privy, has a copy of the Social and Economic Review. It's right here on page 27. Madam Speaker, he referred to the Ministry of Agriculture and the Minister not being able to put his act right, pertaining to assisting farmers in poultry and so on. Madam Speaker, one of the problems we realized as a government in agriculture was that the farmers of the country, St. Lucia, there was a problem in terms of meeting even local and international standards when it comes to meat processing and so on. And so at the end of the day, the farmers had the potential to go ahead and do a number of things. They had the potential, Madam Speaker, to get into the business of poultry, to get into the business of agriculture in a number of areas. But we realized that at the end of the day, the market, with the amount of production, there are certain sophisticated markets like the hotels and the export market. And so while the farmers had the potential to do a number of things, then government had to assist the farmers in the areas that they were weak. And so that is why the Minister of Agriculture, together with the government of St. Lucia, came up with the idea of the abattoir. The abattoir is not like a wild dream. The concept of the abattoir rose out of a number of consultations with the farmers. And so it is expected, after the abattoir has been constructed, that the farmers can get into new markets and they can sustain these markets. And it is expected, Madam Speaker, for productivity to increase in the area of meat processing with the establishment of the abattoir. So that is why government came up with the idea of the abattoir. So this government, I must testify that when it comes to agriculture, the government of the United Workers Party is very serious. You know, I hear it from the farmers on the ground. I'm not just reading from the Social and Economic Review or I am not just reading from statements that were made by the Minister of Agriculture. I'm also linking back what I've read, Madam Speaker, and the facts to what's happening on the ground. You go to every farmer today and they tell you that the Minister of Agriculture is doing a wonderful job. He has understood. Madam Speaker, he has a comprehensive understanding of what the farmers of this country need to continue producing and producing efficiently. Madam Speaker, you know, I represent an agricultural community. And so at the end of the day, I would know what's happening in agriculture. And the fact, well, some persons might not say it's not the fact, but what I know for sure, Madam Speaker, is now in the community where I represent, there are high regards to the way the government is approaching the development of agriculture. Now, Madam Speaker, the government have realized that productivity and the quality of produce need to be enhanced, and so they have taken on a greenhouse project. The greenhouse project started, Madam Speaker, and it was distributed all around the country to help farmers of Solution. I was assured, Madam Speaker, by the Minister of Agriculture that it is a project that's going to continue, because the government of Solution realized that in order for us to produce during certain periods, during the rainy season, during the dry season, that they had to improve on the technology of the farmers by bringing in the greenhouse technology, Madam Speaker. That is a very good way to go. It's a very good way, and I'm encouraging the Minister of Agriculture to continue in that direction. The Minister of Agriculture is quite aware that there are serious challenges pertaining to agriculture in this country. And the government, we recognize that. But we are not going to shy away from our responsibilities. We are not going to say that, Madam Speaker, fini. We are going to take on the challenges, Madam Speaker. We are going to look for new markets, whether within the region or outside of the region, Madam Speaker, so that we can assist the farmers of this country, and at the same time, Madam Speaker, the revenues gained will assist the country, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there has been so much, there have been so many rumors that in this house, Madam Speaker, the concentration must be on the social and economic development of this country, and I continue to maintain that direction. I continue to maintain that direction, Madam Speaker, and I continue to stay on agriculture, because I realize, Madam Speaker, under the leadership of the Minister of Agriculture, that there are some serious changes that are going to happen in the agricultural industry. Madam Speaker, to date, if you notice, exports in non-traditional crops have increased. It didn't just stay there and happen overnight. It's because the government understands that with the whole thrust of diversification, you don't just say it, Madam Speaker. You must put plans in place. Through the Ministry of Agriculture, the Ministry of Communications and Works, and other ministries, Madam Speaker, there is a plan, Madam Speaker, to increase on the capacity, the storage capacity for produce at the Uranora Airport, Madam Speaker. That is going to assist, Madam Speaker, in the exports of non-traditional crops. Because today, exporters, Madam Speaker, and even persons, the hotels bringing in the stuff, Madam Speaker, from overseas, they face a serious problem when it comes to storage, Madam Speaker, at the Uranora Airport. And plans are well on the way. I think the Minister of Communication would testify to that. To assist, Madam Speaker, the country on the whole, which to increase the storage capacity at the Uranora Airport. And not just only increase it, Madam Speaker, but to ensure that refrigerators and other technologies which are needed, Madam Speaker, to allow the good to last longer on the shelf are put in place. I think that's a wonderful idea. Because you see, while you assist, what is happening there is, while you assist the farmers, you cannot just go and give the farmers inputs and so on. The minister realizes that, he recognizes that at the end of the day, you also need to assist them in the capacity, Madam Speaker, to maintain quality. And so hence the reason why, if you notice, there is a comprehensive effort to assist agriculture from all ends. And so while the Minister of Agriculture on one hand goes out there and assists the farmers with inputs, on the other hand is ensuring that when these goods are produced, that these goods can be goods of top quality. And that is what's happening. Madam Speaker, so agriculture is being assisted, and I know as time goes on, Madam Speaker, the plan is to ensure that agriculture at the end of the day can be a main contributor to the gross domestic product of this country. Madam Speaker, it is my dream to see agriculture become the number one industry in this country again. It is my dream. I always say, Madam Speaker, we need to continue developing the hotel industry. There is no two ways about it. But agriculture allows for the total development of the human being and its family. We must not shy away from the farmers. The farmers, Madam Speaker, when they have a plot of bananas or tomatoes, they have to sit down and do the agricultural science. They also have to sit down and do the accounting at home. Okay? They must sit down and plan. But somebody working at a hotel, Madam Speaker, goes to work and come back home. And everything is planned for him. So agriculture actually develops a disciplined nation. And so I continue, Madam Speaker, to insist that while we are having so many young people leaving school and trying to get into the government service or the private sector, one of the ways to increase employment is through agriculture. And I know this year, Madam Speaker, with the advent of, as the government increases the greenhouses, the contribution of greenhouses to the contribution public, I will continue encouraging the government to ensure that young school leavers, some of them can be given one greenhouse. One greenhouse, Madam Speaker, can allow you to turn over about $20,000 a year. $20,000 a year, Madam Speaker. And you know that there's so much arable land in this country that is not cultivated.
You wonder what is happening, Madam Speaker, when you see so many young school leavers adjust their eyelids. So government, I would try to encourage government this year and the Minister of Agriculture to put in place a plan, Madam Speaker, to increase employment in the area of agriculture, especially for the young school leavers. They can get in, you know, when you have a greenhouse or you get into some small agricultural product, Madam Speaker, it takes your concentration direct. It's a small business. It is a small business. And as I told you before, with the new technologies, you can apply what you have learned at school to that small business. So no more should we look at agriculture as the last means of employment. Because when you look at the construction or the way government is, Madam Speaker, you find that a lot of the ministries are ministries that are just dependent, or ministries that lay a lot of expenditure on government. Through the Ministry of Agriculture, we could transform this country totally. And so today, Madam Speaker, I decided to take some time off to try to explain to members that agriculture in no means should be looked at as an industry that is too difficult to manage. Madam Speaker, another area, and I move away from agriculture, and I try to focus on the areas where employment could be generated in this country. Another area, Madam Speaker, is the IT sector, information technology sector. The information technology sector, Madam Speaker, in areas like St. Lucia, can work wonders. St. Lucia only have a population of about 150,000 persons, thereabout, 160, whatever, okay? And when you look at economies like Singapore and Taiwan, the information technology sector has driven these countries. And I'm saying the same can happen in St. Lucia. I have said over and over that we need to put in place a comprehensive program that would allow St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, to get into fully establish itself in the area of information technology. Information technology now, Madam Speaker, is now a resource. Before, you know, the factors of production used to be land, labor, capital. Now information technology is one of them. Because, and that was a very, that was an argument which they had once, but they agreed that information technology is one of the factors of production. And for an industry to get itself into the factors of production, it means, Madam Speaker, we must give considerable to that, Madam Speaker. Without information, we might as well not even purchase. And the land is like a waste of time. But Madam Speaker, the growth in information technology around the world has been so significant that if we are to spend part of our annual budget in that area, it would mean, Madam Speaker, that thousands of jobs would be produced, or created, sorry, in so many areas, call centers, IT centers, so many areas. And the good thing about information technology, Madam Speaker, while you might be an engineer, an electrical engineer, or you might be a nurse, at the end of the day, when you are a nurse or an engineer, electrical engineer, to gain employment in the United States or in Canada,
It means that you have to leave your country and go to these areas. That is brain drain. So you lose your professional staff or persons in the country. With information technology, Madam Speaker, you know what happens? You stay right here in St. Lucia. You are employed, Madam Speaker, but at the same time you are doing work in England, in Australia, so you do not have brain drain. You stay right here, Madam Speaker, and you are developing software. You stay right here and you are working in the call centers, you are working in the graphic centers, you are doing so many things. Madam Speaker, these are the realities. So, I am saying, Madam Speaker, that is an area, while we continue to debate on the budget, I am saying it's an area that the government needs to give support. Madam Speaker, you know, that in a number of areas, especially in the area of communication, road development, and so on, that this government faces a serious task, a serious, serious task, Madam Speaker. When this government started, Madam Speaker, we realized that revenues were being collected, that taxes were being collected from the people of St. Lucia and businesses and so on. But at the end of the day, as to the way the monies were spent, we were not happy with it, Madam Speaker. And I personally, as the leader of the opposition, I kept on warning the government at the time that they had to put control, Madam Speaker, on what was happening with the management of the taxes of the people. In road development, we realized that most contracts, especially big contracts that were given, if they were given for $1 million, Madam Speaker, somehow with contingencies in place, with all other things in place, Madam Speaker, that these road contracts went into double the amount. 50%, 40% over the amount. And so we realize, Madam Speaker, if you are going to create a budget or if you want to get into new areas of development for the, especially for the young people of this country, somehow you have to insist that you maintain prudent management in your contracts that were given and in the areas of government spending. And so what we realized was that over $200 million, Madam Speaker, went wasting, Madam Speaker. It went wasting because at the end of the day, as I told you before, if a contract was given for X amount, and then in most times, Madam Speaker, the contracts went to 50% over the amount. I'm saying, you know, 100%, sorry. I'm saying, Madam Speaker, these were areas where the last government faltered. What did we do? I insisted, and the Minister of Communication is right here, and he can testify to that. I met him on a number of occasions, and I told him that, look, there are two things happening. If you're planning for communication development, roads, and so on, you must do it seriously. And I told him that, the Minister of Communication, you must do it seriously. And at the end of the day, Madam Speaker, if you are going to apply for loans to develop your communication systems, your roads, and so on, and that the taxpayers are going to pay for these loans, Madam Speaker, you must be serious. And I told him that, I told the Minister of Communications onwards that I am going to watch to ensure that he do not have the cost overruns that the former administration was having. Another area, Madam Speaker,
I insisted. If, because you see, Madam Speaker, the reason why I am taking this friend. You know, before, in the former administration, you heard of big budgets. But it's not about the big budget, Madam Speaker. It's how you manage the monies you've budgeted for, how you manage them, Madam Speaker. Because at the end of the day, there is what they call capital investment, unforeseen expenditure. And I insist, Madam Speaker, if you're having things like road development, you must try your best so that persons within this country, Madam Speaker, the locals, can participate in the development of this project. I believe that if there is foreign investment in the hotels and so on, then you could give the concessions to allow the hotels or the developers to flex themselves a little so they can bring in the foreign investors and so on. I don't have a problem with that because they are actually bringing money into this country. And so at the end of the day, if they decide that they need the technical expertise from outside of the country, then you can give them some sort of leverage. But when you look at the major contracts during the last administration, was given to foreign companies, Madam Speaker. And at the end of the day, Madam Speaker, these same companies, which we expected to have all the technical expertise and engineers, not bakers, these same companies could not manage the monies you gave them. So, Madam Speaker, there must be a turnaround. In order for us to improve on education, in order for us to get into the new technologies of agriculture, Madam Speaker, we must curtail the wild spending. That must happen. You know, it's not about just coming and talk, blah, 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 big budget. That is not it, Madam Speaker. I've heard that so many times in the past, and I sat in this Honorable House, and I said, but look, you're having big budgets, your national debt is increasing by so much, and then you're having cost overruns all over the place. This cannot continue. So that is what this government is about, to manage the monies of this country properly. Madam Speaker, if you notice that a lot of the investment is around the private sector, because this government believes, Madam Speaker, that government cannot do all the spending. Because, you know, I sat here a couple of times in the House of Assembly under the last administration, and I realized persons were boasting about the ratio, about the GDP, and all of these things, Madam Speaker. But I insisted that what was happening around that time, Madam Speaker, was that government, what government was doing, was just injecting monies into the economy. So naturally, what was happening around that time, you would see the economic growth. They were just injecting monies into, because government expenditure is a factor which determines economic growth. And it happened in Guyana and Jamaica. That's what that killed them. Money's just being injected. But if you inject monies into the economy in the right way, so that these monies, you can realize a return on your investment, Madam Speaker. And I insisted that after 1, 2, or 3 years, Madam Speaker, you could start spending less in certain areas. But if you just inject money into the economy, you just do this there, and then at the end of the day, you cannot realize the return on investment, then you have serious problems on your hands. Because all you have to do is continue injecting money. And hence, I speak about the agricultural program which the Minister of Agriculture decided to get into, Madam Speaker. At the end of the day, you help the farmers with fertilizer. Yes, you inject that money into the economy, but you realize returns, positive returns on your investment, and it's going to be sustainable.
It's going to be sustainable, Madam Speaker. And the sustainability.
And the honourable member from Castries, Madam Speaker, knows why he's laughing. Because he and I used to be going haywire on that thing, and he was not listening to me. That is why I'm here today, Madam Speaker. Because if the former government had created sustainable employment, not by just injecting money into the economy, but sustainable employment by investing into the economy, and at the end of the day, when you invest in something, when you invest in that area, Madam Speaker, people can continue. That means they do not have to depend on government for another step next month, another step month, the following month. Then today, Madam Speaker, he would not be on that side. So I'm teaching him the real economics, Madam Speaker. That's the real economics. Because, Madam Speaker, you know, sometimes I tend to just smile. But a lot of people look at me as being a computer professional. But, Madam Speaker, I do not know. Many persons, even you, Madam Speaker, might know. I was just an all-rounder. I used to be the accounts officer, counselor at WASCO for a while. Okay? I kept on saying economics, accounting, and math. That was my area. But I was just an all-rounder, and around that time, there was a lot of money being made in the computer industry. As a young man, I decided to venture into that area, and my friend across there can testify to that. He was the honourable member, and I sat on the same desk, Madam Speaker. We were the top mathematicians at college. But Madam Speaker, let us continue. It is not about me, it is about the development of the country. So I am saying the present government, and all members can testify to that. When I have a conversation, Madam Speaker, with honourable members on that side, I'm always serious. Always serious. Because you know, Madam Speaker, when people elect you, they're expecting that sort of thing, that sort of behavior from elected members. Madam Speaker, we too have to be guided by the same principles. We must be guided by the same principles. We must be guided by the same principles that with a small economy like St. Lucia, anytime you decide to use taxpayers' money into any project, there must be some sort of returns on your investment. So it is really, Madam Speaker, as a government, because if you cannot do that, then what you have is two governments with the same philosophies that think alike. St. Lucians, Madam Speaker, are convinced that the United Workers' Party government and the St. Lucian Labour Party government have two different philosophies, especially in the area of agriculture. We believe that investment in the area of agriculture would benefit not only the farmers of this country, but the economy. We also believe, Madam Speaker, that the investment in agriculture in this country assists in the distribution of wealth of this country. It is natural. St. Lucia has an agricultural base all around the district, Madam Speaker. And so instead of getting into a program whereby you just decide to create some employment because you want to stabilize the constituencies because you realize a drop in employment activities, you just go around and ask certain. What you do, Madam Speaker, you inject the money into agriculture. So naturally, you know, you don't need to be no rocket economist to know about that. So naturally, the monies are going to be spread all over the country because of the geographical structure with arable lands all over the country. That will happen. Madam Speaker, so we too have challenges. We too have serious challenges. And Madam Speaker, that is why I am trying to concentrate on the philosophy of the budget, which would harmonize or which would assist in the creation of sustainable employment. That is my whole view. Because you see, the small economies cannot do like the United States and Japan, which has a lot of reserves, and at the end of the day, just take money and inject into certain sectors, when inject into the telecommunication sector. We cannot do that. But as a small economy, we too, we have certain advantages. Because we are small, and because we are so close to the United States, not too far away from England, we can export with the UK, Madam Speaker. We too can concentrate on the fact that our investments must have returns. And so, hence the reason why, anytime government is getting into a project, Madam Speaker, it must be, you know, you don't get into a project because you want to see a big building built. The private sector in St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, is well organized. Well organized, Madam Speaker. We don't need to compete as a government with the private sector. What we need to do, Madam Speaker, we need to serve as a catalyst that can stimulate economic activity. That means if you realize there is an area the private sector does not really want it to get into, because they believe that that area, it would cost them a lot, there is need for a lot of technical expertise, like the technology area, then government, Madam Speaker, would come in to that sort of thing and try to build it up. So that is my whole view of the economy. And Madam Speaker, I'm not wrong. I am dead right, Madam Speaker. I believe for too long we come into the House, Madam Speaker, budget after budget, and speak about massive projects. The projects must be there. The projects must be in partnership. The private sector must understand what we are taking on. We cannot be, when you come to capital, serious capital projects in this country, the private sector cannot be there and the government is on the other side. It must be done with the understanding of the private sector. Because at the end of the day, when you do it that way, Madam Speaker, you always have a partner. You always have a partner in the development of the country. The private sector makes a lot of money in the country. And so when you do it that way, you have a partner. And that is what good governance is all about. So, Madam Speaker, when government talks about building an abattoir and spending money, money's on the abattoir. When government talks about the greenhouse project, I think the greenhouse project is such a wonderful project. It can create, you know, we should have a deliberate policy that we are not only going to give or assist persons that are already in agricultural greenhouses, but we are going to try to see how we could get the young school leavers, the young persons on the block, to come in to, you know, create an educational system where you could come in and teach them how to budget, teach them how to manage it, Madam Speaker. And you know, while you do that, you don't need to depend on only trying to do massive construction in the country to create employment.
Honorable member, you have 10 more minutes to
finish. That's okay. So, Madam Speaker, that is the discipline, not at all, that is the discipline I would like to see. It's a discipline. You know, I've been in this house and debating is one, but the level of discipline really comes when you're in government. And it comes when you're in government and you need to spend the monies that you collected from the taxpayers. And I listen to the people of the country, Madam Speaker, they are very serious when they pertaining to the development of the country. how you spend, and that was an argument we had in the House of Assembly over and over. Because I always insist that if employment, once employment drops, Madam Speaker, you will have social effects, major social effects. And the argument was no, unemployment is not the reason for certain things happening in the youth. And I insist that is what's happening. It is not, I mean, as any person debating the matter, it does not totally contribute to that, Madam Speaker. But at the end of the day, if a serious government can utilize the monies of the youth, the monies of the parents of the children who are working, the taxpayers' monies, and the youth is paying tax, so indirect tax, because they buy things. If we, Madam Speaker, can properly invest these monies, these same monies can be injected to assist them in their social programs. And so, Madam Speaker, I know this year I will be working very closely with the Minister of Youth and Sports, the constituency where I represent, and he knows that too, is a very strong sporting community. It is such a strong sporting and social community, Madam Speaker, that one of the things that is happening in that community, when the youth are unemployed, they would get themselves occupied in a social or sporting program. And that is good, Madam Speaker. It's a very good sign. The Belmont Development Community, Madam Speaker, you know, created wonders. There was a place, I remember, while I was campaigning, Madam Speaker, I promised the people of Denner Rivier to put a computer in the ghettos. And people were wondering, how that's going to happen? How can you just take a computer and put it in the ghettos? But Madam Speaker, what has happened today is that the place where you had the most gambling in the general of constituency, that area now is a resource center. We have turned, Madam Speaker, a bathroom, an old bathroom, from a gambling house. The Belmont Development Committee, Madam Speaker, worked very hard, and we have turned that gambling house. That was where all the youngsters were gambling and going to Matlick. That was where they were ending up. We have turned it to a human resource center. And today, the very computer which I promised them is right inside of the human resource center. So I didn't just go and put the computers in there. Madam Speaker, I assisted the youth in the human development. Now they're on every Tuesday, Madam Speaker, there's a human resource activity in terms of educational activity taking place in that human resource center. You know, I live in so much harmony with the people of Denner Rivier, the people of Garden, the people of Olio, the people of Grand Rivier. Today, Madam Speaker, there are computer labs all over the place. There's a computer lab at the Larissus School. There's a lab not too far away for the entire community, Madam Speaker, together with the small business sector in my constituency. What I realized, Madam Speaker, although I'm a computer expert, but as the rep, it would be too difficult for me to allow a group to manage it, Madam Speaker. What I did was that I allow a small business in the community to manage the computer lab. And you can go there, Madam Speaker, and spend 1 hour, and you would only pay $3. And it's available to the entire community. So, that is what's happening in Denver now.
Remember, you now have five minutes to complete your presentation.
So, Madam Speaker, as a matter of fact, Madam Speaker, you know, there is an IT center being planned to be, the whole, in fact, the EU had built a building somewhere at Lapel, and now we are just planning to put an IT center, Madam Speaker, right in the middle of that building. And the center is not going to be for training purposes alone, but for employment purposes. So where we're going to be linked up with the rest of the world, and there will be a little call center, and we're looking at 200 persons working in that center. There'll be a little call center, a little data entry, Madam Speaker, and we also, because the building is very large, it was a building built by the EU, and it was there for the longest while, and so we have gotten partners, Madam Speaker, to start the process, so that we can generate employment and move the minds of the youth in a different direction. The Prime Minister spoke about the development of the hotels around that area. Madam Speaker, the development is about to start. There's a lot happening when it's pertaining to trying to diversify the economy of Denry North. But Madam Speaker, agriculture in that community continues to be the backbone. And to date, Madam Speaker, especially from the time the Minister of Agriculture would know that because they go direct, and he's a very good Minister of Agriculture. The persons from the Valley leave direct from the Valley and they go to his office. He was one of the main officers who propelled the development of agriculture in the Valley too. And so, Madam Speaker, agriculture continues to grow. There are a number of young persons who have gotten into non-traditional crops. And they are doing it seriously. They have gotten into their own irrigation. The Taiwanese, Madam Speaker, I must not forget my partners. I must not forget the partners of government. The Taiwanese, Madam Speaker, have assisted in the development of agriculture in my community, in the development of the IT lab, in the development of the resource center together with the government of St. Lucia, in the development of the IT center, Madam Speaker, in the development of youth and sports. They have assisted, Madam Speaker. So, in closing, Madam Speaker, I would like the members on the other side to be assured that once I'm in this government, I'm going to be like the watchman. The people of the country are assured, Madam Speaker, and the members around here, they are assured of that. It's serious business. The debt must be turned around, Madam Speaker. Productivity in the agricultural sector must continue to improve. We must look for new areas of employment in the area of ITs, Madam Speaker. In the area of social transformation and health, this development must continue in a positive area, Madam Speaker. And so at the end of the day, Madam Speaker, next year I could report to you on the increases in employment and the increase in the economy. Thank you, Madam Speaker.